Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Heidi. Okay, so I went to, I learned something new this past week, and I went to the most reliable source that I possibly could to confirm what I learned. I went to social media, and I learned, I kid you not, this happened like this week, I learned that when somebody wishes me happy holidays, they're not trying to take Christ out of Christmas. They're being sensitive to the fact that there's a whole lot of different holidays that are celebrated in December. Did you guys know that? Somebody should have told me sooner, because I've gone so many years without knowing that. Okay, so I'm going to list off the 14, 15 or so that I found that we celebrate, or that are celebrated in December. Some of them I can't pronounce, so I'm going to have you help me. Got it? Okay, so anybody ever heard of St. Nicholas Day? Good grief, you guys should. Okay, December 6th. If you already know about it, then you don't, then I didn't. Wow. This one, I think I know how to pronounce it, but Hanukkah, you've heard of that one, right? It's the Jewish holiday. They celebrate the 8-day festival of the Maccabean Revolt. All right, that's December 7th to the 14th. December 8th, so all these have already passed. You guys can't celebrate them until next year, okay? But write them down, all right? December 8th, the Catholic tradition celebrates the Immaculate Conception on that day, okay? I don't have to explain that. December 8th, also December 8th. Can't pronounce this one either. Someone help me out. See, the trick with any of these words, and it's a trick I've mastered over the last 20 years, you just say it confidently. Nobody's going to believe, nobody's going to know the difference, all right? So let's say it like we actually mean it. Yeah, okay, so it's also called Bodhi Day, which is a lot easier to pronounce. This is a Buddhist holiday. This is the day that the Buddhists traditionally celebrate the historical Buddha's decision and vow to sit under the Bodhi tree until he reached enlightenment. Celebrated through meditation and is embraced similar to how Christians celebrate Jesus at Christmas. Interesting. Okay, so December 12th, we're getting closer to where we are today. Advent fast begins. As Jason's been telling us, Advent began 2 weeks back, but the fast begins on December 12th. That's an Orthodox Christian holiday. Another one that sounds like fun is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Anybody celebrate that one, December 12th? Next time, like if you do, like invite me, please. This is the day that the primarily a Catholic holiday celebrated by Mexicans and Americans of Mexican descent that honors the reported appearance of the Virgin Mary in Mexico City. All right? December 16th, from here on out, you guys, you can celebrate these. So write them down if you really want to. I can't pronounce this because I never took Spanish in high school or any other time, but someone help me out. Yeah, what he said, what Mike said, Posadas Navideñas. This is the primarily Hispanic Christian holiday that celebrates Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. Sounds like fun. I think tomorrow I'm going to have tacos. And I'll have them Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to celebrate this one all week. Okay, December 21st, solstice, which is part of the Yule season, whether pagan or Wiccan. This is the point of the year when the earth is farthest away from the sun. And these two faiths, their believers celebrate this event through Yule, in which they believe they honor the winter-born king, symbolized by the rebirth of the sun. That's December 21st. December 23rd, another one I had trouble pronouncing. None of you guys are going to take a shot at that one, did you? Maulid al-Nabi. It's an Islamic, Islam. It's a holiday in that tradition. Celebrates the birth of the prophet Muhammad. December 25th, what do we celebrate on that day? Good. You knew I was going to get there eventually. December 26th, the day after Boxing Day in Canada. Is that right? Okay, well, we live in the United States. Help me pronounce this one. Yeah, Jarafa Diso. This is one of the very few prophets, or one of the very few holidays, where they celebrate the death of a prophet. In the Zoroastrian faith, Zoroastrianism is one of the world's oldest monotheistic religions. Okay, that's December 26. December 26, also St. Stephen's Day. Okay, good. Now you guys are like, we know that one. A feast day celebrating Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament, and all the martyrs that have followed. Here's another one. Help me pronounce it. Kwanzaa. There you go. You said it like you knew it. Week-long celebration of African and African-American culture, history, values, family, and community. The 27th. I really like the Catholic tradition because they have a lot of feasts. The Feast of the Holy Family, celebrating Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. December 28th, a Christian holiday, Holy Innocence Day. Anybody? Okay, a couple people have heard of it. Christians solemnly honor the death of the children killed by King Herod, who was attempting to kill Jesus. And on December 31st, Watch Night, another Christian holiday where Christians will thank God for the safety they received during the year. And that's why we say happy holidays. So if you are new here last week, this week, my name's James. If you need to write a letter to complain about this morning, my name's still James. And if you celebrate any of these other holidays during this month, I want to tell you happy holidays. All right? This isn't just some random Christmas trivia. It's you guys warming up your pronunciation muscles, because I'm going to have you help me read Micah chapter 1. Let me pray before we get to that. Jesus, thank you for this gathered time of worship. The time that you have invited us to, we have answered that invitation, and we look forward to spending this time with each other and with you. I pray you'd give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that are ready to understand this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you got a Bible, turn or tap with me to Micah chapter 1. If you're not quite sure where that is, on my Bible, I think it's page 1090, 1390. That doesn't mean anything for you, because I got a different Bible than you do. We're in this year-long sermon series. We've got today, the 22nd, and the 29th left. That means we have how many Sundays left counting today? Did you think on January, 5th that we would ever get to this point? Some of y'all are like, no. We're in this series, it's called Where's Jesus? We are reading the Bible through in a year. We're given four different texts each day, and we read those, and we ask the question, where's Jesus in those? And on the Sundays, we preach from the texts that are given to us, and I knew looking at these texts, as Elena alluded to, that it would be challenging to preach Christmas sermons based out of the text that we were given in December, because I knew we were coming to Revelation, one of Jason's favorite books, because Jesus wins, and his people win. But it'd be hard to preach a Christmas sermon on Revelation 6, which is today's passage, the breaking of the first six of the seven seals. And our Old Testament passage is Micah. Seven chapters long, the overwhelming majority of this book is about God warning of punishment to the Israelites for their rebellion for over 500 years. Right? Well, how many of us know any verses in Micah? Yeah, well, most of us maybe know one, Micah 6, 8. Yeah, here, do you know it off the top of your head? Something about loving justice. Act just, I got it memorized. I'm a good pastor. It's Micah 6, 8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what the Lord requires of you, to do what is right, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, had our reading fell on that day, that's probably what I would have preached out of. But it didn't. You get to read that tomorrow. So today, our reading fell in Micah chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 4. And we're going to read all four of those chapters out loud. You guys are going to read with me, okay? Somebody already said nope. Yeah, right. All right, so much like the other holidays where I couldn't pronounce it, I need you guys to help pronounce the underlined words. I'll read everything except the underlined words, and then you say them loud enough. This is Micah chapter 1, if you want to follow along either in your Bibles or on the screen. The Lord gave this message to Micah of? During the years when? Ahaz and? Were kings of Judah. The visions he saw concerned both Samaria and Jerusalem. Attention, let all the people of the world listen. This is Micah declaring for the Lord. Let the earth and everything in it hear. The sovereign Lord is making accusations against you. The Lord speaks from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is coming. He leaves his throne in heaven and tramples the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath his feet and flow into the valleys like wax in a fire, like water pouring down on a hill. And why is this happening? Because of the rebellion of Israel. Yes, the sins of the whole nation. Oh, finally, some words that other people can read. Who is to blame for Israel's rebellion?
Samaria.
Samaria, its capital city. Where is the center of idolatry in Judah? In Jerusalem, its capital. So I, the Lord, will make the city of a heap of ruins. Her streets will be plowed up for planting vineyards. I will roll the stones of her walls into the valley below, exposing her foundations. Doesn't this sound like a joy-filled chapter? I mean, I know you're looking for the words to say out loud, but whew. All her carved images will be smashed. All her sacred treasures will be burned. These things were bought with the money earned by her prostitution, and they will now be carried away to pay prostitutes everywhere. Therefore, I will mourn and lament. I will walk around barefoot and naked. I will howl like a jackal and mourn like an owl. For my people's wound is too deep to heal. It has reached into Judah, even into the gates of Jerusalem. Don't tell our enemies in. Don't weep at all. You people in. You guys got the first part. You're like, Beth. That's why I'm having you pronounce it, not me. You people in that city, roll in the dust to show your despair. You people in Shafir, go as captives into exile, naked and ashamed. The people of Zaan dare not to come outside their walls. The people of Bethel mourn for their houses, for their house has no support. The people of Marath anxiously wait for relief. Here's the good thing, okay? Later, if you haven't read it yet and you read it tonight, you don't have to read this chapter again. You can start in chapter 2. Okay. Sorry, sidetracked. The people of anxiously wait for relief, but only bitterness awaits them as the Lord's judgment reaches even to the gates of Jerusalem. Harness your chariot horses and flee, you people of Lachish, that's a good one. You were the first city in Judah to follow Israel in her rebellion, and you led Jerusalem into sin. Send farewell gifts to Moresheth Gath. There is no hope of saving it. The town of, God bless you, has deceived the kings of Israel. The people of, I will bring a conqueror to capture your town, and the leaders of Israel will go to Adullam. Oh, people of Judah, shave your heads in sorrow, for the children you love will be snatched away. Make yourselves as bald as a vulture, for your little ones will be exiled in distant lands. That is the word of the Lord today. Where's Jesus in that? Where's Jesus in any of the prophets? Major prophets, minor prophets? Hey, something fun to look forward to. Next fall, 2025, we're going to do a sermon series titled Minor Prophets, Major Messages. All right, so next fall, I'll be looking forward to that. Back to Micah today. It's hard to find Jesus in here sometimes. So much blood, so much punishment, so much accusations. What's easier to do is to check out when we're reading it, right? I do that. I'll be the first to tell you I do that. I read through chapter 1 and my eyes keep reading, but my heart's not there. And when my heart checks out, I miss the echoes of where Jesus is in this prophet. I'm not going to have us read chapters 2 through 4 out loud because I got people already yawning and others that are not quite sleeping. It's okay if you do, though, okay? Instead, I'm just going to tell you where I saw Jesus in these first four chapters. You see, in Micah chapter 2, if you want to flip there or go there, first five verses, God's railing against the wealthy oppressors found in Israel. Next five chapters, God has a few choice words for the false prophets. And then in chapter 2, verse 12, we finally catch a glimpse of hope. And it's from this hope that God gives the prophet Micah to share with Israel that I find Jesus in the text. Micah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together again like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds. Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you. See Jesus in there? A bit? Okay, you guys stay here. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I'm going to show you how I kind of see Jesus showing himself in this text. First part of verse 12 says this: "Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnants who are left." Long after Jesus' birth, in fact, it was very close to his death, Jesus sat on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, and he wept. You remember what he said? He said this, sounds like an Old Testament prophet. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers." Now, if we stop there, it's like, oh, there he is. But we don't. Jesus kept going as he wept. "How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings." How often I have wanted to gather. And in our text from Micah, "Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left." See how this works? We see Jesus in there? You okay if I keep going? Okay. Still in verse 12. "Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture." Anybody have any guess where I'm going? John chapter 10. Jesus had a whole series of I am statements. See if any of this sounds like what we just said in Micah chapter 2, verse 12. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls them by his voice, calls his sheep by their name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." He goes on later to say, "I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd," he says in verse 11. "And the shepherd, good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. They know me." Sounded all like Micah 2, verse 12? Just a little bit, right? "I will gather together like sheep, in a pen like a flock in its pasture." Sometimes when reading through the prophets, it's easy for us to check out. Sometimes when listening to James on a Sunday morning, it's easy for us to check out. Don't check out when you're reading through the prophets. I'll leave that second part up to you. Back in Micah chapter 2, verse 12. "Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together again like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds." Anybody know where I was last weekend?
Yes.
I was in Vancouver, British Columbia, watching Taylor Swift. Man, you talk about noisy crowds. It was me and 66,000 other moms and daughters and one other dad who were cheering at the top of our lungs, all right? There was not too many places to stay. Why? Because there was 66,000 moms and daughters going to Vancouver. I mean, some of the motels were upping their rates to like $3,000 a night. It was nuts. We stayed a half hour to 45 minutes away, where it's a little bit more reasonable. You ever heard a story of somewhere else that went somewhere and there wasn't any room in the inn? Luke chapter 2, verse 7, I'm not going to read the whole thing for you, but I will read the last verse. Says this, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, well, Jesus hadn't arrived yet, he was coming, right? Verse 6, chapter 2 of Luke, "And while they were there, there came time for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." No room at the inn. Must have been a town full of noisy crowds. You hear any echoes to Micah? Okay, fast forward 33 years, we see Jesus in Jerusalem. Jerusalem in that time was normally a pretty happening town of about 25,000 people. If you can't quite fathom that, that's twice the size of Cheney. Okay? I thought that would at least gain a laugh. I judge all of my world geography based on Cheney, okay? So twice the size of Cheney, 25,000 in Jerusalem. That's their normal, everyday amount of people. When Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover in his final days of life, how many people were there? 10 times that. 250,000 in Jerusalem proper. And if you go to the suburbs, walking distance, another 150,000. So if you look, you live in Jerusalem at that day, you step out your door to go to work, and you have to navigate through 400,000 people, that's a noisy crowd. I hear echoes of Micah. I hear echoes of Jesus in our prophet Micah. Micah 2, verse 12, we're going to get into verse 13 this time. Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together again like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds. Your leader will break out. Your leader will break out. Huh. Maybe I'm stretching things a bit here, maybe not. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Everybody say, yay, Christmas. You guys, yeah. Jesus died in Jerusalem. Everybody say, boo, Good Friday. I know, it is good. And he was resurrected 3 days later in Jerusalem also. Yay, Easter. Yay. How was Jesus resurrected? It was by the power of the Spirit of God, right? And then the tomb burst open and he came out. That's like we sing songs like that. Isn't that, I mean, it broke free. If you read Matthew 28, verse 2, you know that an angel of the Lord rolled the stone away, but there were tombs that were breaking free. Matthew chapter 27, right at Jesus' death. At the moment of his death, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split, and tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life, and they came out of their tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Did you hear it? Micah 2:13, your leader will break out. Matthew 27:52, and the tombs broke open. Could work. Verse 13, your leader will break out and lead you out of exile. Someone give me a simple definition of what exile is. Kicked out of your own country, kicked out of your own home. Very good. Very good. I know that it's December 15th, and I know most of us don't remember what we ate for breakfast, at least yesterday. Think all the way back with me to January 2nd. Those who were around then, we started the Bible in a year. Okay, a long time. I know you've memorized it as you've gone. Any recollection as to where you read January 2nd?
Genesis.
That's right, Genesis chapter 3. Right, and we look and see in the story of Adam and Eve, that when they sinned, God sought them out, he made them close, he scolded them, and then he sent them into exile. He kicked them out of their home. Right? Genesis 3:23, so the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden. Sin led to exile. How do we get out of exile? It's always the right answer in church. How do we get out of exile? Jesus, right. Jesus, in one of the other I am statements in John, he said this, John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if Jesus is the truth, then earlier in this gospel, when he said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, then that means Jesus sets us free from our sin that has led to exile. Jesus is in Micah. We're seeing that. Still in verse 13, your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, the gates of the enemy cities. Huh. Remember that one time Jesus talked to Peter? That one time. Yeah, remember that one time? Right, Jesus said, and I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Remember that other time Jesus talked to Peter? And 71 other of his disciples who had just come back from a mission trip, which, by the way, wasn't it great last week to have the mission trip update from the Winters and the Andersons? I'm sorry I missed that. I got to have a firsthand account of the mission trip with Dick, and it sounds phenomenal, all right? Jesus, all these disciples came back, 72 disciples came back. They returned and joyfully reported to him, "Even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yeah," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." Jesus said this. 700 years earlier, Micah had said, "Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities." Mission trips have a way of reminding us that God's given us some power. I hope we can remember that when we're not on mission trips as well. Micah 2, verse 13, "Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land." Back to your own land. How much of this book is about a land? A lot of it, right? It's about God trying to get his people to the promised land, to a literal geographical strip of land, but it wasn't just so they could say, "This is my property, this is my dirt." It's so that they could have a place of peace with God, a place of shalom. 2024, Christians, we're not, as Christians, given a piece of geographical property, but we are given Jesus, who has become our promised land, because with him we can have peace and shalom with the Lord. Amen? Back to your own land. Where's Jesus in here? We're seeing it. "Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you." Your king. The angel Gabriel met Mary and told her something was going to happen. She was kind of baffled by it. And you're going to have a baby, right? And he said to her, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." That's the beginning. You go towards the end, and Jesus is standing before Pilate. Pilate's having this interrogation of Jesus, and he says to him this in John chapter 18, verse 33 to 36. He says, Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him, and he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Your king will lead you." What did the sign above Jesus' head say when he hung on the cross? "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Micah 2, verse 13, "Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you." When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the fact that he needed to leave, but he was going to send a helper, a third part of the Trinity, he didn't explain it like that, but that's what we call it now. It was the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what the Holy Spirit's job was, his job description, according to Jesus in John chapter 16? Guide, because we're hearing echoes to Micah. "There's so much more I want to tell you," Jesus said, "but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you. "The Lord himself will guide you," said the prophet Micah. In a prophet like Micah, it can be hard to see Jesus as we're reading through very quickly, sometimes reading with our eyes, checking out with our heart. It's especially hard when we get to names of places that we can't really pronounce, so we pronounce them like we tried to earlier. Jesus is in here. "Someday, O Israel, I will gather you. I will gather the remnant who are left. I will bring you together again like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds. Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out of the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you." December's a busy month. We know this. right? And there's all sorts of things we could be doing, including celebrating different holidays that we can't even pronounce, and it'd be easy for us to kind of tune out and check out. Don't do that. Jesus is still in December. We just have to look and pay attention. He's still here. Perhaps this week we'll find him in some unexpected places. Will you be looking with me? Okay, let's pray then. Jesus, as readers of Scripture today, the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian Scriptures, we admit that oftentimes we don't understand fully the context and the culture from which the Old Testament was written from. And we will admit and confess, at least I will admit and confess, that sometimes I skim, sometimes I just plain skip over big parts. And Lord, in doing so, I understand there's the risk of missing Jesus in that text. I pray you'll help me not do that in these final 16 days of this Bible in a year reading. Help me, help us finish well, finish strong. Help us see you alive and active amongst the holiday celebrators that are surrounding us as we go about our daily lives. We'll be careful to give you all glory and honor and praise as we see you in unexpected places this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And as you seek him throughout this Advent season, let this just be a time that we adore him throughout and beyond this Christmas season. So join with us as we sing Adore this morning.